Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original WEEI, filling in for WEEI afternoons today, taking you up until about 6 o'clock tomorrow is the launch of the new WEEI Afternoons, hosted by Fitzy, Hart, and Ted Johnson, which will be a blast. They'll get kicking off at 2 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. But Mego, I wanted to get back into the divisional round.
Oh, not
of
hot
the NFL
tubs?
Plays. No. There are a lot of good texts, though. A guy said he just bought a house and has an outdoor hot tub. He's working on it, trying to make it real nice. $600 and climbing. Can't wait to see it in the middle of winter. So there you go.
I like the guy who said he's changing the station because he doesn't need to hear some broad talk about hot tubs.
Yeah, he can't talk about hot tubs and getting Legionnaires' disease.
Fellas, do you have a problem with broads talking hot tubs? 617-779-7937. Legionnaires, I thought that you got that from like air conditioning units.
Is that real? I think
you can get it a multitude of ways, but I kind of thought it was airborne.
It's a form of pneumonia.
Yeah.
How would you get pneumonia from a hot tub?
I don't know. I mean, I don't doubt it.
Lung inflammation caused by infection.
Yeah, it's a bacterial infection.
Interesting. As someone who's had pneumonia before, I don't recommend it.
You hanging out with Arcan?
No.
That guy gets pneumonia like you read about.
Yeah, he had walking pneumonia this past winter. Like, what? I just get the flu and I'm dead for like a week. It was miserable. Or around Christmas time. It was so bad. But anyways, NFL divisional round of football was awesome. It was really good. But one of the questions I don't think we necessarily got to, but that Jones and Keith had kind of posed to me. Are you kind of sick of the Patrick Mahomes, like, fishing for calls? Or do you think this is kind of just part and parcel with who he is and how good this team is and everybody's mad about it?
I'm actually not sick of the Patrick Mahomes in particular fishing for calls.
Yep.
I'm sick of the narrative that then I see, which is the backlash to the backlash to that, which is Tom Brady was the one who started all of this. Brady definitely benefited from the tuck rule. But after that...
But that was like a rule. That wasn't wasn't a player protection thing.
But then you get all the roughing the passer, the way that Brady basically played long enough to see the position evolve from what happened to Joe Theismann a few years before him,
and
to then what happens throughout Brady's career where you're not even allowed to like land on the quarterback because then you're roughing the passer.
And I get it. And Brady was a large influence on protecting the quarterback in the pocket. I couldn't agree more. That's why, like, I wasn't insanely outraged at the Will Anderson kind of phantom roughing the passer call there on Patrick Mahomes early in that football game, because I'm like, all right, that gets thrown all the time for everybody. I get it. Like, it's kind of a dumb call. If you look at the replay, he didn't really hit him in the head, but it is what it is. Like, I understand it. In the pocket, I get protecting the quarterback. But what I'm kind of sick of, and I think this should apply to every quarterback, not just Patrick Mahomes, but every single quarterback in football, is once you leave the pocket and you're a runner, man, like, it's fair game. That tackle, specifically in that Ravens-Bills game, it was a little late on Lamar going out of bounds. Dude's a runner. Like, dude's eight yards down the field. If he tackles you on the edge, I think that's totally cool. I don't think that that should be... You shouldn't protect a quarterback just because he's a quarterback, unless he's in the pocket. It's in the pocket. That's what, like, I understand. You want to protect those guys because that's where 99% of all quarterback injuries happen, is in the pocket. But once you're a runner, you're put, like, you're just like a receiver or running back, and they never flag those guys for illegal hits to the head and leading with the helmet or any of that crap.
Right. What I think people get more upset about with Mahomes is the trickery that he's been doing for a couple years now, which is, ooh, am I going out of bounds? Ooh, I'm slowing down. 100%. Ooh, looks like I'm going out of bounds, but
crap,
I'm not.
Like, yeah.
And then he gets the calls that way, and it extends the drive. And it feels like it's not a skill-based thing. Even if you look at Patrick Mahomes to the point where you go, the guy's so composed. He's got the position down so solidly that he's able to basically execute a flop. Mm-hmm. Or have trickery like that where he's throwing off the defenders in a way that then it benefits his offense to get the call extended. But it's obnoxious to watch. Yeah.
Super
like
obnoxious.
It isn't a brand of football that I like.
Oh, I hate it.
I was a huge Marcus Smart fan. I don't love
Flop
the
King.
Intentional trickery with the refs. It just feels not great.
So I propose this to you then. I'm a big fan of expedited replay. I think they don't use it enough. I think they should use it more. And then I think in these situations, like, you can see stuff like that, and it takes 15 seconds. The guy in New York's like, yeah, no, he flopped out of bounds. Pick that flag up. Like, let's move it along. Like, this is where, and I think you can use expedited replay in so many different ways. There's a holding call at the beginning of that Bills game. That was not a hold. Like, Tony Romo was like, yeah, that's a terrible call. Troy Aikman in that Texans-Chiefs game. God, I can't get my teams right. In that Texans-Chiefs game was ripping a bunch of the calls. And you can just, like, pick up flags and throw flags that should have been thrown. And expedited replay can have it done in 15 seconds, and you're not delaying it. You're not having the guy go under the hood, and it makes it way smoother and way simpler. And I think that needs to be implemented far more often than it is.
I think it's mostly, though, people being frustrated just because they're sick of the Chiefs.
Yep.
They're sick of everything Chiefs. They're sick of Mahomes. They're sick of Kelsey. They're sick of the wives and girlfriends. They're sick of mm-hmm. everything around it. And they just want to see the Chiefs lose. And I don't think that they're going to lose to the Bills. And
probably
I think
not.
that's going to be tough because
it's gonna be sad.
I find this Bills team to actually be pretty likable. And I enjoy Josh Allen. I think he gets hyped kind of exceedingly because mm-hmm. he is the anti-Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
But he strikes the right note most of the time. He's super fun to watch.
Golden Retriever energy, baby.
Look like we had the big MVP duel between Patrick Mahomes, not Patrick Mahomes, between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen last night. And that was supposed to be the premier matchup of the two candidates for league MVP. And it didn't really live up to the hype. I don't know how it could, and the conditions were a big part of the game. Mm-hmm. But I think that Josh Allen showed himself to certainly be the one deserving of the MVP. And so I think people look at it and they're going to probably be watching this Bills-Chiefs games and saying, I just want Patrick Mahomes to get knocked out of there because I don't want to see them three-peat and I don't want to see them be the new Patriots.
Yeah, for me, it's not even about being the new Patriots. It's just because, like, I find Andy Reid very likable. I've always liked Andy Reid. I thought he was one of the smartest offensive minds the sport has seen. Like, I've always liked Andy Reid. I just can't stand the way Patrick Mahomes plays football. And then I can't stand Travis Kelce. And it's just like those guys just annoy the crap out of me. Whereas, like, a guy like Chris Jones, probably not a great dude, but God, is he a good football player. Trent McDuffie, awesome football player. That corner is so damn good. By the way, Patriots could have had him. You traded out of that pick too, and instead you drafted Cole Strange.
Oops.
But Trent McDuffie, awesome football player. Like, there's so many guys on those teams. I root for guys like DeAndre Hopkins and Hollywood Brown to make returns. It's just like, I can't do it with Mahomes and Kelce. It's so infuriating. I have learned to just, like, emotionally hedge on everything. I just bet on the Chiefs and then I root against them. And either I'm happy that they lost or I'm financially better off because they won. And it's just like, I guess that's the only way I can survive at this point because it's just so aggravating.
But on the other side, then you have Manders.
It's true.
And the Eagles are a fascinating watch as well, because the Eagles always feel like they're on the verge of an implosion.
Always.
Like they're
especially with Nick Sirianni at head coach.
Yes, they're always towing the line of chaos.
It's
and it makes it a fun watch, because you know that the Eagles fans feel tortured watching the team, because they're simultaneously incredibly pissed off by their own team, watching them in real time, and then just surviving the win.
It's unbelievable. I've never seen a fan base be more mad at a really good football team.
But you know that they like it.
Oh, yeah.
Like
they're so into it.
Being just driven crazy by the chaos that they're watching on the field.
So good.
And you have Hurts going out in the middle of the game and then coming back and basically giving like word salad to the sideline reporter.
He seemed drugged up.
You're like, I don't know if that guy.
Let's go to Saquon Barkley, please.
Jalen Hurts is like, this is a game that I used to play in video games. And you're like, what?
I think my favorite part of that Eagles team too is I'm pretty sure before the second Saquon long TD run, they were lining up and like getting the play ready, and Saquon had to look at Jalen Hurts and go, what's the play? Hey, can you, what's the play again?
Jalen's like, not now, dude. I'm in a video
game.
He's
like, yeah, just run left. Go that way. And Saquon scores a touchdown. And that's kind of what Saquon does. Might be my favorite storyline of the year outside of Jaden Daniels, is just because like Saquon has been amazing. He's been so, so good. And to see him come from the Giants, just a horrible, horribly run football team, to now the Eagles, and he is a superstar. There's no question.
It's like when a pet gets rehomed to a really nice family.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you deserved this.
Yes, you earned this.
You're awesome.
I'm so happy
for you.
You
should have been here all along.
Yeah. And like Saquon is undoubtedly the best running back in football, and he's amazing. And those two massive runs, I think somebody had the stat. It might have been the Ringer Fantasy Football podcast. They had the stat that Saquon has as many 60-yard TD runs this playoffs as the Steelers do in the last like 40 years. It's insane. Insane. And so I'm happy for Saquon. I couldn't be happier for you and Jaden Daniels. I think Jaden Daniels is awesome. Just, again, like Josh Allen, super likable player. Whatever you think about him, whether you think he's amazing or you think the team is playing better or whatever, he's always smiling. He just seems happy to be on a football field, and that makes me happy as a viewer of the sport. And so I think there are things to root for in every team, and I just want to root against the Chiefs.
I will say, and I'll talk about Jaden a lot more in a little bit, but I do feel like one of the cooler storylines, we've had all these different storylines come out during the regular season and then in the playoffs, one of them that really started with Geno Smith was the resurgence of these flopped quarterbacks.
The reclamation project.
Yeah, like Sam Darnold, Jared Goff. Now, those roosters came home.
A little bit.
Everybody came back down to earth a little bit, but there's been the Baker Mayfield even, who just got a terrible deal in Cleveland. Yep. It's a cool storyline. The other side of it is with the running backs. As you said, Saquon, but also Derrick Henry. These are two guys who were both free agents last offseason.
Yeah.
And not exactly names that were hot on the market the way that somebody like Calvin Ridley was.
Yeah.
A receiver.
Very true.
Where everybody's talking about, oh, who's going to get this guy? Who's going to get this guy?
And the crazy money they're throwing at receivers when, you know, Saquon Barkley is the Eagles' offense.
And you say, right. And you say, like, okay, well, we know that the running back position has been devalued compared to wide receivers.
Definitely, the
way that offenses are played in the modern game over the last several years. But at the same time, wouldn't you agree that when you're watching the Commanders game, or not the Commanders game, the Ravens game last night, you're like, why wouldn't you feed Derrick Henry? Like, the ball is a giant ice rock.
Yep.
And everybody's fumbling. Just feed Derrick Henry. Nobody wants to touch that guy. Send him down the field.
He's the biggest, fastest dude on the football field.
You control the third quarter. You kept Josh Allen off the field in the third quarter for much of the time because you just feed Derrick Henry. And that's a guy who could have been got by other teams last offseason.
Yeah, I think they really got away from that in the first half and in the fourth quarter. And I think that could have benefited the Ravens a lot by just... Even Bill Cowher said it at halftime, it's not about how many yards he's getting. Just continue to give him the rock. The more carries he gets, the better he gets, because he stays equally strong because of how crazy he is about his health and his body, and everybody else starts to get tired, and nobody wants to tackle a 260-foot dude moving at 4.4 speed. Like, nobody. It just, you don't want to do it, especially in the freezing cold weather. It's an absolute nightmare. Let's, real quick before we hit trending, let's go to Coach. Wants to talk about the AFC Championship game. What's up, Coach?
Yeah, three quick points. Last year, the Washington Redskins finished probably with a 4-13 record, the number two pick, and they go to the NFC Championship game. And I know Dan Quinn's a great head coach, but Cliff Kingsbury is not even getting a sniff around the NFL. My theory there is because he went to Thailand for a year and got his personal life and his head back together, I think that's being held against him. Number two, I think Buffalo stands a hell of a chance, and I'll tell you why. I think the NFL, well, let me say it differently. I think people are just absolutely sick of the calls that the Chiefs get. That's going to end Sunday. That gives the Bills a chance. Last coaching point. Isn't it refreshing that Jeremy Springer did a hell of a job for the Patriots, and on merit, not on Rooney Rule or anything else, just on merit, he's being retained. Great job, Mike Vrabel.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate the call. Yeah, I like the retention of Jeremy Springer. You had said that he deserved to stay over the weekend, and I couldn't have agreed more. Because
I thought so. He improved that unit and, again, struck the right note all the time. Seemed to be a guy who had his head on straight.
He gets
and
it.
And, yeah, just gets it. He just gets it, and his unit improved from last year to this year.
Yep.
And he had the only Pro Bowler, Brennan Schooler, out there. So I'm glad he's staying on. I think it's a right move.
I do, too. 617-779-7937 if you want to weigh in on the divisional round of the playoffs. We can weigh in on Jaden Daniels, Boston Celtics, the New England Patriots. Everything's on the table. Hot tubs? Tons of people still texting in about hot tubs, Mego. Seems like you might be right on that one. It's Shime and Mego here filling in for WEEI Afternoons. But right now, David is going to get you caught up with what's trending.
The exclusive home for Patriots Monday and Friday.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by 99 Restaurants and Pubs. Visit the 99 Restaurant Monday through Wednesday for their newest big deal meal. Your favorite chicken and sausage al forno is back at the Nines for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday. You gotta love the Nines. The Celtics and Warriors are in action in San Francisco. The score is currently 13-11 with the Celtics on top. Kristaps Porzingis is leading the way early with 8 points. The Bruins defeated the San Jose Sharks earlier today thanks to some late-game heroics from Charlie Coyle. The final score was 6-3. Coyle scored the game-tying and game-winning goals late in the third period. Empty net goals from Brad Marchand and Elias Lindholm sealed the win for the Bees. All-star outfielder Anthony Santander is switching AL East teams after agreeing to a 5-year contract with the Toronto Blue Jays. ESPN's Jeff Passan reports the deal is worth more than $90 million. Santander hit 44 home runs with the Orioles last season. The Chicago Bears have reached a deal with former Lions offensive coordinator Ben Johnson to become their next head coach. The Lions offense led the league in points per game this season with Johnson at the helm. The college football national championship between Ohio State and Notre Dame kicks off at 7:30 p.m. tonight. You can hear ESPN's call of the game right here on WEEI. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. I'm David Azer. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. and it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of Mego and Chime on WEEI.
Chime and Mego here, filling in on the WEEI afternoon show on Boston's Sports Original. Mego, it's been a fun show today. Talked a lot of football. Done a lot of it. And I would like to continue doing some more football because I can't stop talking about it. I was excited about the weekend, the results of the weekend. I'm curious who you find yourself, aside from the Commanders.
Okay, come on. That's a big aside.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't talked about the Commanders since like 2:30 now.
Do you think that they would be, when you look at the possible Super Bowl winners now.
Okay.
Eagles, Commanders. Chiefs and Bills.
Yes.
Who is the best storyline? Because I think that matters here. Like, is it the Chiefs three-peating?
No, it's the Bills.
Is it the Bills?
Yeah.
Your guy, Jaden.
I do think the Bills is the best storyline because you got Josh Allen. He's probably going to win MVP. Mm-hmm. So then you get the MVP aligned with Super Bowl winner and probably then Super Bowl
MVP. You think he'll
win
MVP even though he didn't be, even though he wasn't all pro QB1?
Yeah, okay. I do.
I actually think Lamar's going to win the MVP.
Really?
Unfortunately, yeah.
You don't think it matters that like been there, won it before?
It does
shouldn't
sometimes.
Matter, but I do think with voters it does.
Yeah, but it's tough because like I feel like last year, Josh Allen should have won the MVP and didn't, and Lamar won.
Well, that should matter too.
And this year, Lamar should win the MVP and Josh may win. But like I just think that the all-pro voting was very indicative of how the MVP voting will go, and I think Josh will miss out again.
I think ultimately the story of the Bills finally exacting vengeance on the Chiefs.
Yeah.
And being able to topple down Mahomes and Kelsey. And maybe this is like the start of the end, the beginning of the end for Kelsey because he's already had load management to the extent that you do with a football player for this last season and the season before anyways.
Yeah.
And if Josh Allen, whose Q rating is through the roof, and the Bills can take down Mahomes
and slay the dragon
and win the Super Bowl, yeah, I think that's the best story. That fan base, look, I'm from a tortured fan base. It's so early for Washington. It's so ahead of schedule. Yeah. It would be a fabulous story if Jaden Daniels even got them to the Super Bowl. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think that a rookie quarterback is going to start in the Super Bowl right now. And I don't think, as incredible as Jaden Daniels has been, like my hope cannot go that far. I'm too broken of a person to believe that Jaden Daniels is going to take the Commanders to the Super Bowl and win. That would be insane. It would just, it'd be insane
awesome,
because it's such slim chances.
It's so unprecedented,
I think the Bills, though, it's time. It's time for the Bills to win a Super Bowl, and it's time for Josh Allen to get his due.
Yeah, maybe it is time for Allen to break through. Maybe this is his 2006 Manning season where he finally beats Brady and finally gets to a Super Bowl where he goes up against a team that just doesn't stand a chance in the Philadelphia Eagles, or maybe he faces Jaden Daniels. Like, that to me seems like the best-case scenario, Jaden Daniels versus
Josh
Allen.
It's crazy to me that you started this segment by saying what would be the best storyline. Is it Chiefs three-peat? I think that's the worst storyline.
Do you?
I think that's that's the outcome most of the country is like, absolutely not. Stop shoving that in my face like it's another Sonic the Hedgehog sequel.
I definitely feel that way because I hate Mahomes and Kelce, but like, I feel like nationally a lot of people would want to witness something that's never happened before, right?
Do you think they even know? Like a casual fan who's going to be like, oh, look, it's
the only
Patrick
three
Mahomes,
Pete's they know are Michael Jordan.
It's Kelce, and it's the people who would get excited about that, I think, are outside of Chiefs fandom, are people who don't even know that Michael Jordan three-peated.
I think I think the best thing for football is Jaden Daniels versus Josh Allen, because you get one of these guys is going to win, and if it's Jaden Daniels, you immediately kind of...
He's a superstar.
He is a legitimate superstar in year one. He is one of the most marketable players you could possibly have. Just his demeanor, his attitude, the way he carries himself, and the fact that he's awesome at football. You can just kind of package all of that up, and boom, there's your Super Bowl champ. There's your next person that you can kind of just paint across every billboard across the country. And I think that, like, for me, that would be the craziest storyline, is that a rookie quarterback takes a team that was 4-13 and wins a Super Bowl.
What if he did it over Mahomes? That's better. What?
I feel like I would be high on drugs if Jaden Daniels.
I think a lot of the country would feel that way. They'd be like, here comes Jaden Daniels. Mm. Nobody saw this coming. Oh, everybody told me it was RG3. It would be incredible.
I would be levitating. I'm not even a Commanders fan. And
dude,
if that happened,
you have to understand, like, my reality has been turned upside down this
year. Yeah, because even last week, you're like, yeah, you know, we're not going to really get past the Lions. It's fine. Forget last week, 2 days ago. You're like, yeah, you know, I just want a good game. It'll be fun. I'm glad to be here.
Just
like,
everyday life.
Happy.
Yesterday, I was at Star Market in Dorchester, and I'm waiting in line for self-checkout, and there's a guy and his kid behind me. His kid's probably like 7. And he's got a Washington Commanders sweatshirt on.
Hell yeah.
And I'm like, this is happening in Dorchester? Where did you come from? Like, get back to Northern Virginia. What are you doing up here? Like, this is, what is this going to become mainstream? Because I'll tell you, the sense that I got over the weekend as that game was unfolding and after the fact was that I might be the only Washington football fan that people north of the Mason-Dixon line have ever met.
Not anymore. I think a lot of young kids are going to look at Jaden Daniels and be like, wow, he's awesome. I'm now a Commanders
fan. I want that. Especially because
the Patriots suck.
Jaden Daniels beating Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl is the greatest possible story.
Yeah, I think it absolutely is. Like, that would be... And again, and you know, nice little side plot too. Dan Quinn finally gets it done after blowing the worst game, or worst Super Bowl moment in NFL history.
Does anyone really care about that, though?
No, that's why I said nice side story. Okay. Little side story. You know, good for him.
In the newspaper business,
happy for him.
We wouldn't even call that a sidebar. That'd be like a bright
back page.
Be like, oh, like a cute little story over
happy
here.
Happy for Dan Quinn. He wins.
Somebody talks to Dan Quinn's like high school friend, and they're like, Danny always kept a good attitude.
Yeah, he definitely was able to bounce back from 28-3. I knew he could do it. Yeah. No, but you're right. It's like, I think what Jaden Daniels doing is so unprecedented that it makes it just, it has this gravity to it that you keep getting pulled in. You keep getting sucked in by the way he plays and how awesome he is in big spots, in big moments, and nothing looks too much for him.
If you're a Patriots fan and Jaden Daniels wins the Super Bowl over Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs, do you look at Drake May any differently? Be honest with yourself.
No,
You are the biggest Drake May fan that I know.
Yep.
I like Drake May a lot. Yeah. And I think he shows a ton of potential. Awesome guy. Is such a good fit for the disaster that the last season was, mm-hmm. where he didn't just tread water. He showed you how high his potential is, how high his ceiling is. Jaden Daniels beats Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. You're telling me you don't look at that and go, oh, could have had that.
No. So I think, well, first of all, you couldn't because he was drafted before you. It's not like you had the opportunity.
No, I'm saying if you had lost down the stretch.
True. But I don't think it discounts anything Drake May has done. What I think it really makes me sad about is that the New England Patriots just...
Disappointed. Not mad, just disappointed.
...squandered an opportunity. Like, rookie quarterbacks, especially in this year's draft, were just so unbelievably talented to a degree I don't think we've ever seen. And again, I think the entire draft class is like this. This is historically good. And so it indicates to me that you were so ill-prepared to help Drake May and to get him ready when you could have absolutely had at least a competitive season. You didn't have to be in the Super Bowl like Jaden Daniels. I think that is unicorn status.
I like how now in our universe, Jaden Daniels is already in the Super Bowl.
No, I'm saying if he got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is all hypothetically speaking. Like, I think that is, he just kind of puts himself in a one-of-one situation. I don't think Drake May could have replicated it even if he was in Washington. I just think that what it does for me is show how poorly run the situation was in New England compared to Washington.
Is the Jaden Daniels hype train going too far? We're sitting here making hypotheticals about whether
he's in the NFC Championship game. Of course,
okay,
it's not going too
far. But listen to Damian Woody. Listen to this clip from earlier today on ESPN.
D. Wood, is it premature to say Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC? End of sentence.
He's the best quarterback in these playoffs right now.
Hold on.
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in these playoffs.
He's playing the best right now of anybody. He's
playing the best, and I dare anyone to challenge me on that.
What? Right.
The best quarterback on the planet.
He's playing.
Number 50.
Jaden Daniels is playing the best quarterback in the playoffs right now.
Let Woody live. Let him live.
Come on. Like, what do we got? Listen. I'm not talking about legacy, all that.
Neither
like, we know what
Speak
Patrick Mahomes is done and all that. But right now, Jaden Daniels is playing the best quarterbacking of all quarterbacks that are still remaining in the playoffs. Period.
He's right.
No, he's not.
Yes, that's right.
No, he's not. I think if he had just answered the original Greeny question of, is Jaden Daniels the best quarterback in the NFC? And said yes, I don't think he would have gotten much pushback.
Yeah, who would you put in front of him?
Like,
that's why the AFC is so much stronger than like the NFC right now.
The NFC is what? Stafford? The NFC has better football teams. The AFC has insanely better quarterbacks. I think that's kind of the comparison between the two conferences right now. It's like, because you're comparing Jaden Daniels in the NFC to Jared Goff, Sam Darnold, Jalen Hurts,
simply,
Brock Purdy.
Does the NFC simply have better coaches? And the AFC has better quarterbacks?
Maybe. I don't know, though. Like, I look at the AFC, I think Andy Reid is a really good football coach. Really, really good.
Yeah. But when we talk about McVay, we talk about Dan Campbell and different types of
Kevin O'Connell,
coaches.
Matt LaFleur, Kyle Shanahan, all those guys are better than
Sean
McDermott.
Yeah, so I think it's safe to say the NFC has better coaches, ergo stronger football programs.
Correct.
But the AFC has more talented quarterbacks.
And I think Jaden Daniels changes that. I think Jaden Daniels changes that for the NFC in that, he is a top five quarterback in football. Like, he is the fifth best quarterback in football.
No, this is your take.
Yeah.
This is your take of the day.
He's the fifth best quarterback in football.
List them. Name them.
It's Mahomes, Allen, Lamar, Burrow, Jaden Daniels.
When you first proposed this to me, because you asked
thought I was
me,
out of my mind.
You
right?
asked me, is there any way that you can put, that you can't put Jaden Daniels in the top five quarterbacks in the league? And I was like, it's too early. You sound like Damian Woody right now. You're crazy. Damian Woody is saying that Jaden Daniels in these playoffs is performing better than Josh Allen.
That's not true.
And better than Patrick Mahomes.
That's not true.
I don't think so either. I think those two are still better quarterbacks than Jaden Daniels. But when you list out the top five quarterbacks, I do think it illustrates that the league is in a little bit of a transitional place.
Sure.
Can someone like C.J. Stroud 2 years from now be better than Jaden Daniels?
Maybe, unless Jaden Daniels.
I
think because.
Can Drake May be right there with Jaden Daniels?
I think because growth isn't linear. I think absolutely. I think all those things are in play. But right this moment, at this time, Jaden Daniels is the fifth best quarterback in football.
I think I have to agree with you. Because when you go through, who else would it be? Would it be Baker Mayfield?
I think the closest person is Matthew Stafford.
Matthew Stafford.
I think you saw, like, especially in that playoff game against the Vikings, even against the Eagles, Matthew Stafford was awesome in that game. The reason the Rams lost that football game is because Jalen Carter is a monster. And the center blocked the wrong guy and blew up what would have been a touchdown on third down there. Like, that's the only reason the Rams lost that football game. And so I guess the closest guy to Daniels would be Stafford, who might retire tomorrow.
Can you remember a rookie? I'll even be a little bit more generous than this.
Okay.
who as a rookie or second-year player where they sat in their first year and then their second year exploded on the scene, who has made as immediate an impact as Jaden Daniels
Patrick
in
Mahomes,
the modern game?
That's about it. Like, it's Patrick Mahomes, right? His first full season as a starter, 50 touchdown passes, 5,000 yards, and an AFC championship.
So now you're Damian Woody right now. You're Damian Woody. You're saying Jaden Daniels is Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not saying he's Patrick Mahomes, but he's having the same kind of impact, right? Patrick Mahomes' first year as a full-time starter, he lost in the AFC championship game to Tom Brady in overtime.
I just think this is going to be – I don't think it's fair. I think this is going to be a little bit of a tough beat for some people with Drake May. Again, I think Drake May is the perfect guy for the Patriots for where they were last season. That is an extremely difficult position to be in that he was in.
Yeah.
And I think he did as well as anybody possibly could.
Yep.
And I'm very high on his potential. I'm very excited for Drake May. But if Jaden Daniels, as you said, growth is not linear. If Jaden Daniels continues down the path that he's going down, it makes it really hard to hold a great quarterback with great potential in Drake May up to somebody like that.
Well, yeah, because you're constantly comparing the two. And it's like this guy is just lighting the world on fire and Drake is just kind of slowly coming along.
You know who, okay, if you're sitting here today, we forgot a major name when we were talking about this earlier. Who will you take, Jaden Daniels or Justin Herbert?
Oh, Jaden Daniels.
So are you knocking Herbert like out of the top 10?
No, Herbert's probably like 7.
Because I do think that Herbert,
he's really good.
As much as we talk about Josh Allen, like Herbert is probably more of an attainable level for Drake May to be at.
Yep.
So if you have somebody who's Jaden Daniels, and let's say he's closer to Patrick Mahomes, and then you have Drake May who's closer to a Justin Herbert, how do you reconcile that from the same draft?
It's tough. It's hard. I mean, that'd be impressive enough to have two guys from the same draft class be that talented. And I think that is a good thing. It's tough, though, to know that the guy who's close to Patrick Mahomes already could face him in a Super Bowl in 3 weeks was picked one spot ahead of you. Like, that's hard to reconcile because again,
and that you would have had that spot if you hadn't won one more game down the stretch with Bailey Zappe.
But then again, but like, if you had Jaden Daniels here,
I was like, Bailey.
But even if you had Jaden Daniels here, he wouldn't be having the success he's having in Washington, right? Like, that is all due to situation. So I don't even think you can do that. I think it's just knowing that the guy who is already going to start competing with Patrick at Patrick Mahomes' level, which is insane to even think about, as a rookie, was in your draft class. Because that, to me, it's like, there's no way you're getting two insane Hall of Fame caliber players in the same draft. It's just so hard to do. Then again, this draft class may be the outlier because everybody from the class seems to be really, really talented.
Look,
so I guess there's a chance.
Be honest with yourself. Do you think Bo Nix will be an insane Hall of Fame caliber quarterback?
No, but I think he could be like a 10-year starter that's good.
Yeah, he'll be really good.
Yeah.
I think Drake May could still be he has the makeup where he can reach that level.
I think you could. I haven't lost faith in Drake, but it is definitely hard to see a guy in his draft class already having this insane success, because it's like, wow. So the Patriots just needed to get like a good head coach, a good offensive coordinator, add a couple pieces, like veteran pieces to your team, and maybe you could have been, I don't know, fighting for a playoff spot at least.
Maybe if you had
like try a little bit in the offseason.
Development staff. As Albert Breer reported earlier today, that you were lacking in player development staff when you had the number 3 overall pick being a rookie quarterback that you took and two rookie receivers that you traded out of the 34 spot with Ladd McConkey to try to round out your offense.
That would have been nice. Player development at all for a young rookie team with a rookie head coach and a guy who hadn't called plays in 15 years and a rookie defensive coordinator. You know, any of those. They have any kind of development system whatsoever, that might have been nice. 617-779-7937. It's Shimon Mego filling in for WEEI Afternoons. The final segment of the program comes next.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
Shime and Mego here on Boston Sports Original, filling in on the WEEI Afternoon Show. And the final segment of the program is brought to you by Cards for Kids. Don't waste time trying to get rid of your old or broken car. Cards for Kids is the easiest and fastest way to donate your car and get a tax deduction. Go to carsforkids.org today. That's cars with a K. Mego, we wanted to finish with a little bit of Celtics as they are currently leading the Golden State Warriors 33-20 in the second quarter. But we wanted to talk about the report, or couple reports, that came out earlier today about the bidding process or the people bidding on the Boston Celtics to kind of purchase the Grosbeck family shares of the team and become the primary owner of the franchise, and how NBC Sports, not NBC Sports Boston, but the National, kind of not reported, but posted an article about how Fenway Sports Group was one of the four, maybe five bidders. And then Chris Cotillo, sometime after that, came out and said, yeah, that's not true. An industry source tells him that that's not factual at all.
Yeah, so what happened here is NBC Sports, the national arm that has the website, wrote this story citing Michael Silverman of the Boston Globe about the Celtics bidding process and how they have anywhere from four to five bidders who are expected to start the process on January 23rd, formally submit what they want to pay for the team. And the Celtics and the rest of the owners around the league want that to be up to $6 billion. Even though the Celtics don't have an arena, it makes it a little bit more complicated. But Michael Silverman never wrote anything about Fenway Sports Group in that Boston Globe piece. Adam Himmelsbach had the first information about this bidding process happening on the 23rd last week, and he never said anything about Fenway Sports Group, John Henry, Sam Kennedy, anyone attached to it in that either. From the Globe, Michael Silverman only wrote identities of the control person leading the three to four other groups remain under wraps. So there was just this kind of random line in the NBC Sports story, which reads more like it was aggregated of other reporting and other pieces of information, that just says Fenway Sports Group is expected to place a bid. Now you have Red Sox writers like Chris Cotillo who are saying industry sources, other people around are saying that's not the case. Fenway Sports Group is not involved. And you just have to imagine, unless they're getting really bad information, Rob Bradford confirmed it on Twitter too. He said, I'm hearing, like, I can confirm what Chris Cotillo is tweeting out there. Unless multiple guys are getting really bad information and all of a sudden Fenway Sports Group makes an enormous pivot during the week and decides on Thursday to place a bid, it just seems to me that they're probably not involved.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. I haven't heard whether they're involved or not. But the way that I read that story when I sent it to you this morning, I said, this is just like a really weird way to write this. There's no attribution.
Yeah.
There's nothing in the story that says a source close to Fenway Sports Group or a source close to the Celtics or someone with knowledge of the bidding process has said Fenway Sports Group is expected to bid. I know that Courtney had a report about Sam Kennedy earlier in the year. Again, like, things change all the time and who knows, but based on this NBC Sports story, it doesn't seem like that's going to happen.
Yeah, it feels very weird, especially like they also say like at least four, maybe five bids from prospective owners. So do you even know who the bidders are?
No, they don't. That's the point.
It's so weird because you say that you don't actually even know how many there are, but then you indicate that Fenway Sports Group is in fact a bidder, even though nobody's reported it.
Well, they say they're expected to bid.
Yeah.
And I just don't know where that comes from.
I don't either. You know what it reminds me of? Reminds me a lot of Rap Sheet saying Josh McDaniels is expected to be highly considered for the offensive coordinator position of the New England Patriots.
Okay, but the difference here is that Rap Sheet has a ton of connections with the Patriots.
Very true.
Used to be the Boston Herald writer here, so he knows people close to the situation.
But also not a report. Like, I guess kind of that's where I'm going with this.
I would say that, like, what we talked about earlier and what Rap Sheet put out there on Saturday was a little bit more like, here's my read of the situation.
Sure.
But he's super tied in. No offense to the national writer who put up this story
for NBC Sports.
I don't have any idea. There's no context there.
None.
Unless it's like Wick's nephew or something who says, guess what? Or John Henry's.
I got info. The fam is selling to John Henry. We know.
Yeah, yeah, it's a very strange thing. So I know I just wanted to touch on it because I saw a lot of people on the internet freaking out about it, saying, oh my God, John Henry, this is the worst outcome for the Celtics. We want them to keep investing in the team. The only person that we really know has expressed interest trying to put together a consortium is Steve Pagliuca. And he's definitely been diligent about trying to put backers together and will be one of the bidders. Otherwise, is it going to be Rob Hale? Is it going to be some Bezos, some other billionaire, some group of multimillionaires banding together outside of PAGS that we don't know? $6 billion
is there going to be some Saudi money involved from the PIF or something?
Well, it could only be 10%. So that group would have to be a backer.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how this bidding process goes. I'm really curious to see the names. Once the official list of names comes out, I'll be really curious to see who's on that.
They've kept it so quiet.
They really have. They've kept it very close to the vest, and I think that's kind of the way they want it, because they want to keep driving up the price as much as they possibly can. So that'll do it for Shyman Mego here. Mego, great job today. Excellent work.
Thank you. You too.
Thank you. I will be back with the Greg Hill Show tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m. Do you know when you're going to be back on anytime soon?
I'll be with the Greg Hill Show on Wednesday morning.
Yes, you will. You join us at 9 a.m.
Miss me and you want to talk basketball, there's always the Slammed Pod.
Perfect. There you go. That's where you can find Mego. I will be on tomorrow morning here on WEEI. Dan Balls got you next right here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. We'll see you. Good, bad, will be awesome, might suck.